I am going to tell you about, I've seen a few celebrities, but the one I remember the most that like is the most indelible. Anybody on here under the age of like 40, you'll have no idea who I'm talking about, so just go with me on this, no big deal. But when my father and I, my parents actually, we went on a trip and we were in New York City. And we were actually just walking late at night, my dad and I, and it was like 10 o'clock. And we're walking down the street and we're actually going towards Central Park, if you know New York very well, going north to Central Park. And as we're walking, I look over right next to my dad, and there's just this guy walking next to us. And I kind of looked over and I looked at him again, and it was Dabney Coleman. Raise your hand if you know who Dabney Coleman is. All right, yes. Is there anybody under 40 who knows who Dabney Coleman is? We got one. All right, I'll take that. That's good. So Dabney Coleman in the 80s was this big star. Like he was. He was in some like really big movies. I tried to give you some of these movies that some of you have probably never heard of. He was in War Games. He was in a movie called Tootsie, a movie called 9 to 5. And what I remember is we're walking next to Dabney Coleman, and this would be way different than walking next to Shaq, this feeling, because that would be very obvious. I'd be like, oh, Dabney Coleman just seemed normal. He was like my dad's height. He was just kind of walking the streets. We walked with him for like quite a while. And I was looking up and I was like, I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know if I thought he'd just like break out in song or if he would have some like amazing thing about him that he would do that would be spectacular, but it was kind of the opposite. Just normal, ordinary. Odd almost how he looked like everybody else. Nothing special about him. This is very similar to how this celebrity we know named Jesus actually came about. In fact, in Isaiah, it talks about him just being ordinary, not special, not even really attractive, not somebody you'd just be kind of naturally drawn to. And so when we think about the birth of Jesus, we may sometimes have expectations of him, and maybe you do, because I don't really want to think of Jesus as ordinary, just this human being walking around the streets of a city like Dabney Coleman. You know, I like the miracles. I do like the miracles of the angel coming to Mary, as we were talking about earlier. I like this idea of the virgin birth. I like the idea of the star in the sky, or the angels that would come and worship, and the shepherds saw those angels. And those shepherds and the wise men also both went to visit Jesus. And I like the miracles. And I think sometimes that's because maybe we need a miracle. Maybe we need God to cure a disease right now that you have. Maybe you do have an illness that just you can't shake and you need a miracle. Maybe there's other things going on in your life like debt that you can't seem to shake, that you're taking into 2026 and you're not sure what to do. Or maybe you just need God to make your life a little easier because it's been pretty hard this year or over the last few years. Maybe you need a miracle like find me a better job or God, please stop this depression. Maybe there's a miracle you ask for like fix this very difficult relationship in my life. Or for some of you, at least for the holidays, put me in a different family. Maybe that's the miracle you need. Now, it isn't that I don't believe God can do miracles. I actually do believe that the angel came to Mary and Joseph. As I say, I buy into that stuff. I buy into that God can reach his hand down because he's already come down to live among us and can change things. Being in the position I've been in for the last 30 years, I've heard so many miraculous stories, things that I can't totally explain, that don't totally make sense. I do believe the Holy Spirit created life in the Virgin Mary. I do believe the stars led the shepherds and the wise men to the baby Jesus. But the biggest miracle of Christmas is not those things, not those like desperate pleas we may have for God to come down into our life and fix something. The biggest miracle of the Christmas story that is bigger than all of them is simply this. That is God saying, I am here. If you need me, I am here. If you're hurting, I am here. If life is difficult, I am here. If you're filled with joy, like we talked about last week, if you are at a peak in your life, I am here. Jesus is just, for the most part, Dabney Coleman walking down the street. He makes the ordinary, though, miraculous. This is the words that were said about him I read earlier. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That phrase, Emmanuel, another name given to the baby, to Jesus, which simply means God with us. Simply put, I am here. Jesus' birth fulfills a promise that God will dwell with humanity, literally taking on human flesh. And this was all prophesied 700 years before by the prophet Isaiah. We spoke about Isaiah 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here, you can go listen to that on our website. I encourage you to do that. Isaiah said this 700 years before the birth of Jesus, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, there will be this virgin, and they will conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." The Israelites at the time, as we said a couple weeks ago, were in need of a miracle, just like we all are. Feeling hopeless, they were in despair, they had difficulties, and they needed a sign. And for them, the sign was going to be simple: Emmanuel, God with us, I am here. This is the greatest miracle of Christmas, that God would want to have an intimate relationship with you. That there is not this God in the sky that is some, like, you know, idea of this cosmic Santa Claus in some way that's supposed to just fix things, and when he doesn't fix things, we're mad at him, or if there's suffering, then that just makes us not believe in God in some way. That's because we have things pretty messed up in our head if we think like that. It actually goes reverse. We have a God who's in it with us in our suffering, in our struggle, in a broken world. We have a God that doesn't just reach down and fix something, but comes down to live among us. This is the promise. And even when Jesus left the earth, even when Jesus goes, here's one of his last words to his disciples. He said, "I will be with you always. I'm never leaving you. You can't run far enough from me. You can't ignore me enough. You can't, you know, not believe in me enough to say that I am just gone. I am with you always, even until the end of the world." This is a promise to you. And I will tell you, by the way, I still pray for miracles. I hope you do too. I'm presently praying for miracles to happen in 3 specific areas of my life. They are on my little prayer. I tell you, I have a little prayer journal every day. I pray for these 3 things every single day. One of them I've been praying for the last, like, year. Daily, just intensely praying about this thing. I have another one up there that I've been praying about for probably a decade. These 3 specific areas in my life, I need something to happen. They're very practical and meaningful for me, and they're things and people I care deeply about. I would encourage you to keep praying for miracles. I believe they happen. I actually believe that God can come down and can change things in this world. But I don't think that is God's main desire. And so as you continue to pray for miracles, asking God to intervene in your life, because he's still in the business of doing that, I encourage you to pray for God to do good things through you and around you. I encourage you to pray for healing, physical healing, psychological healing, emotional, mental, spiritual healing. But I'm okay with the realization that the greatest thing God does for any of us, the greatest miracle God provides for you, is he's here with you. He's loyal to you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Thus, every prayer you pray to God, every miracle you ask for, it should have the backdrop of this: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which simply means God with us, God with you. I am here. That is the most important expectation you can have. It is the miracle over all miracles. And it is why the Advent season matters so much. What we are waiting for, what we are hoping for, is supposed to mirror the pregnancy of Mary. We are supposed to go through our life knowing, go through the Advent season knowing that there is something coming. There is some hope coming. There is light in whatever darkness we may see. And so we lead up to Christmas being reminded of what really matters. In Philippians 2, Paul echoes these words, and he does it in poetic form. And I told you earlier to read John chapter 1. I would also encourage you to go and read Philippians 2. Philippians 2 is this kind of poetic journey that Paul takes the church at Philippi on to help them be reminded that Christ is in their life. And this is what he says. You should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Who, Christ, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Simply put, Jesus, part of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus up in the heavens with God, did not take it as an advantage. Simply, all that means is he did not keep himself above everyone. He did not see himself with ego. He actually did the opposite. Instead, rather, verse 7, he made himself nothing. He basically took off the clothes of royalty and put on the clothes of humanity. And he did so in the wildest way, coming down to be born and to live like humans would so he could be part of our experience. So whatever you go through, God knows. You are not foreign to God. It's not like you are living and you don't make sense to God. God has lived what you live. He's experienced what you've experienced. Rather, he made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant and being made. Made means created. Being created in human likeness. That Jesus becoming an ordinary human is the extraordinary miracle. And so I close saying this to you. I don't know your total story of 2025. I don't know what's happened in your life completely. But you have a story. And it's got some twists and turns the last year. It's got some highs and lows. And for some of you, the highs have been a little higher than others. And for some of your lows have been pretty low. But I know you need your own miracle today. I know that the grace of God matters to you. And it might be very specific. It might be large. It might be something quite difficult for you. And you're looking to God to help you as you enter into the next year. But please take today to mean this. That against the backdrop of whatever goes on in your life, be reminded that the miracle of God's presence, that is the ultimate hope. That no matter what happened to you in 2025, whatever will happen to you in the year ahead, you have a hope that you can hold on to. And that hope is that God loved this world so very much that he did not leave it and just say, I'm just going to let you, you know, kind of be your own people and do your own thing. He said, no, it is broken and it is in need of something. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to live among these people. I'm going to live among my creation. I'm going to be created myself in the birth of this little baby. And at this one particular moment in human history, God became like us, became like you, in order to love you as much as anyone could possibly love you. I want to say that again. God came down to live among us to love you as much as anyone could possibly love you. That is the miracle. That is the hope we can hold on to. And so as the worship team comes back to lead us in some more music as we close our Christmas service, I go back to that simple passage in Philippi. This great miracle where Jesus came down to be with us is the greatest miracle. He followed it with the greatest sacrifice. We saw that he already called himself a servant. Here is how the rest of that passage goes. You should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, the triune God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So not only does the God of the world who created you and me come down and become like us, he then gave us the ultimate sacrifice, verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, being born to be like us, to live like us, so he can experience life with us, Jesus humbled himself further, further than any other man could do, than any other human could possibly think about. He humbled himself further for you, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This same God who came down to live among you went under to serve you, to sacrifice for you, to die for you. Miraculous. He came and died for you so that he would defeat sin, that he would defeat death. What it really means is he would defeat the brokenness that we all feel. The difficulties, these difficulties we've talked about that we all know, that we've had to live through at various times in our life. And then he rose again on the third day. Not only did he defeat death, but he gave us hope through the resurrection. That is the hope we carry into Christmas, into 2026. That God is here with us in his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection signal a new hope, a new way to live, a joyous way to live no matter the circumstances. So I invite you, go and respond at the table today. If you're new to the journey, every week we take the Eucharist, we take the communion, and we close our service with it because that is the ultimate ending of what we do to go out into the world. We want to take the death of Jesus into our bodies, but what we're doing is we're resurrecting it into the life of our bodies. So you will go to the tables that are on your right and left towards the front. And there you are going to see bread. There's regular bread and gluten-free bread there if you need. There's wine there for you to dip that bread into. There's also juice if you need. And you take and you dip that in there, and you are taking the death of Christ. You're taking his bread, symbolizing his body broken. You're dipping it into the wine or juice, symbolizing his blood that was spilled for you. But you are bringing it into your body. And in doing so, you're the resurrection. You're the new life that he's given you to live. You'll also notice up there, there's little sheets of paper that just say a word of God for you. I encourage you to take one. Maybe use it as something you read in the next couple of weeks as we come back in the new year. I say these words to you as we go to this table. It's the same prayer that the angel said over the people who were preparing to meet Jesus. He said, I am bringing you good news. This will cause great joy for all people because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So God, I pray over the people today. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your resurrection. And thank you for your hope. It's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. The tables are open. You can go when you're ready.